So I guess let's start. Last week we began, we were introduced to the our first major qualification to Malachus Bishul, which was the principle of Ein Bishul, Acher Bishul. This principle taught us that the Malacha Bishul is only a problem the first time around. If you take something raw and you cook it on Shabbos, so then there's a problem of Malachus Bishul. But if you cook something once before Shabbos and then you reheat it on Shabbos, you cook it a second time, so that is permissible. This is the principle of Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul. And this is the whole basis for how we're able to heat food up on Shabbos. How do we heat up any food on Shabbos? How do you heat up a piece of potato kugel on Shabbos? Aren't you cooking it? Why is it not Malachus Bishul? The answer is Ein Bishul, Achar Bishul. Since the kugel was cooked before Shabbos, so reheating it is not a problem on Shabbos. Now, tonight, we're going to round out our discussion of this principle by discussing two possible limitations to this principle. That's the agenda for today. We're going to discuss two potential limitations to this heter, where we're going to see that although typically we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, but there are two circumstances where we may not say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, where there may be a problem to recook something that was cooked once before. So that's the agenda for tonight. So let's start with our first limitation to Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. Limitation number one is proposed by the Yireim. Yireim asserts, he wants to say, that the heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul only applies if the food item on Shabbos, when you recook it for a second time, is cooked in the exact same way it was cooked the first time around. Meaning if, let's say, the first time around, you roasted it on an open flame, so then on Shabbos, the heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul would allow for you to roast it again on Shabbos by a flame. If before Shabbos you cooked it in a liquid, so then on Shabbos you can cook it in a liquid. But says the Yireim, the heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul does not let you mix and match. If before Shabbos it was baked, you can't cook it in water on Shabbos. If before Shabbos it was cooked in a liquid, you can't roast it by fire on Shabbos. This is the Yireim's limitation to Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. This is the way it's classically said, is that he holds that although we say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, but we say Yesh Bishul Achar Tzli. If the first time around you roasted it by a fire, and the second time you're mavashal it in liquid, so that it is going to be a problem, that's not going to be permissible. Where did the Yireim come up with this idea from? Where did he get this limitation to Ein Bishul Achar Bishul? So he quotes the Gemara in Psachim and Daf Mem Aleph Amud Aleph. So let's just spell out the Gemara, which is the precedent, the basis for this Psach of the Yireim. The Gemara in Psachim on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, as we would expect, is discussing Hilchos Pesach and the mitzvah of matzah. And the halacha is that when it comes to the matzah on Pesach, so the matzah has to be baked. The dough has to be baked. You can't cook it in a liquid. It has to be a lechem oni. And so that requires that the matzah be baked. So the question that comes up in the Gemara is as follows. The question is, what would happen if, let's say, a person, he goes to the matzah bakery and he bakes kosher matzah for Pesach, and then he decides to take that matzah which was baked and he cooks it in a liquid. Let's say he boils it in water. And so the question becomes, is that going to invalidate the matzah? It was first baked appropriately, but then he took that matzah and he cooked it in a liquid. Is that going to be a problem? So the Gemara in Psachim on Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph brings a machlokes tanoim on this issue, but we're going to focus on the shita of Rabbi Yossi because we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says that this is going to be a problem, that if you take your matzah, which was baked, and then you cook it in a liquid, you boil it in water, that is going to hassle and disqualify the matzah. It's no longer going to be usable for Pesach. That's the Gemara in Psachim and Daf Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph. So comes along the Yireim, and he makes an observation from this Gemara. He says, you see from this Gemara that although originally this matzah was baked and had the status of being a lechem, had the status of being an object that was baked, but after you then subjected it to a second act of cooking by boiling it in liquid, that's going to recharacterize this matzah. That's going to change the character of this matzah and disqualify it. We no longer view it as a type of lechem, as a type of lechem oni. We now view it as something that was boiled in water, which is no good for matzah. So says the Yireim, if that's what happens in this case, then that should impact on Hilchos Shabbos. Because as we mentioned last week, the yisod of the principle of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is about redundancy. The reason you're allowed to recook something on Shabbos is because that's a redundant activity. The Isra Malacha on Shabbos prohibits productive action, things that are creative. And if you do a repetitive act, you do the same thing two times, you cook it once and you cook it again, so that second act of cooking is lacking in productivity. That's the yisod of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But says the Yireim, that's all fine and well if each time you cook it, it's cooked in the same way. You bake it one time, you bake it again. You cook it in liquid the first time, you cook it in liquid again. But we see from this Gemara that if you mix and match, that's not considered to be a redundant act. The first time around, you bake the matzah. And then if you take that matzah and cook it in liquid, that's going to recharacterize the matzah. That's considered to be halachically significant. And if that's true by Hilchas Pesach, so then here too by Hilchas Shabbos, we see that it's not considered to be a redundant act. That's a different form of cooking. And therefore, that's not going to be permissible. So this is the Yerayim. This is our first limitation to the heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. This is the limitation of the Yerayim, that we say Yesh Bishul Achar Tzli, that if the first time around you cooked it in one format, like roasting it, and the second time you cook it in a different way, like in liquid, so we do not permit that on Shabbos. That's the Shita of the Yerayim. Now, just to round it out, the Rav Yah argues on the Yerayim. You saw the Marmukomos, so the Mordechai brings the Rav Yah as arguing on the Yerayim. He says that there is no such limitation to this heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, that when we say that the first time around you cook it, then you can cook it a second time on Shabbos, it doesn't matter how you cooked it, you can mix and match, you can roast it, then cook it in liquid, it doesn't matter. The Rav Yah argues on the Yerayim, and he addresses the raya that the Yerayim brought from the Gemara Imsachem. The Yerayim brought a raya from the Gemara Imsachem. Rav Yah is aware of that, he addresses it, we're not going to get into that. So that's all limitation number one. I really don't have much more to say about this, but it's very halach l'mais, it's very much nogea, so it's kedai to spell out. That's our first limitation, the question of whether it's permissible to reheat it in a different manner than it was cooked originally. Any questions? We good? Okay. Fine. So now we come over to the second potential limitation to Ein Bishul Achar Bishul, which is going to take up the rest of this year. The big question becomes whether the heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul applies to liquids. It's clear that the heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul certainly applies to solids, that if you cook something, you take a steak and you cook it one time, so then you can reheat that steak on Shabbos, no problems, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. The question becomes, what about liquids? If let's say you boiled a pot of water before Shabbos and then it cooled off, so can you reheat that water on Shabbos? Does the heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul apply to liquids or not? So this is a major machlokas rishonim, which is extremely nogei lahalacha, and we're going to call it a machlokas between Rashi versus the Ran, just to give names, but there are many rishonim in each camp. We'll call it a machlokas Rashi versus the Ran, as if the heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul applies to liquids as well. So let's start with the first approach, which is the approach of Rashi. Rashi doesn't explicitly tell us his shita on this issue, but he interprets a Gemara and Daf Lam and Daled and Aleph in a way which is based on taking a stance on this issue. So let's move over now to the Gemara and Daf Lam and Daled and Aleph, and we're going to see that Rashi's interpretation of that Gemara is going to take a certain approach on this issue of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul by liquids. Okay, so the Gemara and Daf Lam and Daled and Aleph is discussing the Isser of Hatmana. We know that there's an Isser to insulate food on Shabbos. Under certain circumstances, you cannot insulate food on Shabbos. This is what's known as the Isser of Hatmana, an Isser Derabanan. And the Gemara and Daf Lamed Aleph that we're going to focus on is discussing one form of this prohibition of Hatmana, and that is when it comes to a Hatmana with a Dover She'ina Mosif Hevel. Let's say you want to take something that's not going to intensify the heat. Let's say you have a pot of food and you want to insulate it with something that's not going to intensify the heat, but it's going to retain the heat. It's going to maintain the heat. So let's say, for example, you want to take pillows. You want to put pillows around a hot pot of soup. So the pillows are not going to intensify the heat, but they'll help retain the heat inside the insulation. So the halacha is, that comes out of the sugya there, that you're allowed to set up this type of insulation before Shabbos. If before Shabbos you would set up an insulation with material that's not going to intensify the heat, that's permissible. But you can't set it up on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos itself, Chazal enacted a prohibition with the Rabbanan, you can't set up this type of hatmana on Shabbos itself. And the Gemara there in Daf Lamed Aleph wants to know why it was that Chazal set down this Isser de Rabbanan. Why did Chazal prohibit insulation with this type of material on Shabbos? So the Gemara there, Lefi Ar Girsa, brings Rava who says like this, that the reason Chazal prohibited insulating food with this Davar She'ina Mosif Hevel, something that's not going to intensify the heat, is because Chazal had the following concern. Chazal were worried that if we allow for insulation, the following scenario may unfold. A person may insulate his pot of food, his hot pot of food, and you know, a little bit later on Shabbos, he uncovers the insulation, expecting to have a nice geschmack hot pot of food. And unfortunate unexpectedly, somehow the pot cooled off. The Chazal were concerned that a person's going to insulate his pot. He's expecting to find a nice hot pot of challant, and he uncovers the insulation, and disappointingly, he finds that it was cooled off. And Chazal were concerned that in the spur of the moment, in his great disappointment, he's not going to think, and he's going to reheat the pot. And reheating the pot is apparently un-okay, is inappropriate, and that's why Chazal asered hatmana. They disallowed hatmana because of a concern that maybe you're going to find that the pot was cooled off, and you're going to reheat it, which is not okay, and so therefore we had to prohibit hatmana. That's what the Gemara says, mandaf lamdal lamdal, fi argirsa on the Gemara. Now the question becomes, what is the big deal? Why is it a problem to reheat this pot that cooled off? The whole isser of hatmana is because of this pot. What's the problem with reheating this pot? That's the question that comes up in the Gemara here. So we're going to focus on Rashi's interpretation of this Gemara. There are different interpretations in the Rishonim. We're going to focus on the Shita of Rashi, which is going to be important for our sugya. Rashi says that the issue with reheating this pot is a violation of Melechas Bishel. That if you take this pot that cooled off, you put it back onto the fire, you heat it up again, that is going to violate Melechas Bishel. And so says Rashi, that is why Chazal prohibited hatmana. Why can't you insulate food on Shabbos? Because Chazal were concerned that if you insulate it, you may become disappointed if it didn't work, the pot cooled off, and you may violate Melechas Bishel. Because we're concerned you're going to violate Bishel by reheating the pot, that is why Chazal prohibited hatmana. That is Rashi's interpretation of this Gemara. Comes along the Rush, and the Rush is bothered by this interpretation of Rashi. The Rush raises a basic question on Rashi. He says, how can you tell me, Rashi, that there's a problem to reheat this pot, that the reason we had to prohibit insulation is because we're concerned you're going to reheat this pot and violate the melacha of Bishel when we have a principle of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. That's the principle we've been working on the last 2 weeks, Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. Anytime something is cooked one time around, it's perfectly permissible to cook it a second time around. So this pot that we're discussing here was already cooked once before. You cooked it already. You tried insulating it. It's true the insulation didn't work, but this was already previously cooked. If you reheat this on Shabbos, why should that be a problem? What happened to the heter of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel? So that is the kasha that the Rush raises on Rashi's interpretation of this Gemara. How can you tell me that Hatmana was prohibited based on a concern it'll lead to Bishel? There shouldn't be a problem with reheating this pot because we have a heter of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. Fine. So that's the kasha the Rush asks on Rashi. So the Rush answers his own question on Rashi. The Rush answers up this kasha. And he says like this. Yeah, Penny, yeah, you have a question? He says like this, that the Rashi is going to hold that there's going to be now a new limitation to Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. Aside from the first limitation we had in the first part of today's shiur, Rashi is now going to introduce us to a second limitation to the heter of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. And that is to say that this permissibility of reheating a food that was previously cooked is going to be limited to solids, that the heter of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel only applies to solids. If you have a piece of steak, you cook it once before Shabbos, then we say Ein Bishel Achar Bishel, you can reheat the steak on Shabbos. But says the Rush, Rashi is going to hold that this does not apply to liquids. If a liquid was cooked once before Shabbos and then it cooled off, we do not allow you to reheat the liquid on Shabbos. We do not say Ein Bishel Achar Bishel when it comes to a davar lach, when it comes to liquids or food, a food that has liquid in it, that has rotev in it, sauce. So then we do not say Ein Bishel Achar Bishel, then it's going to be a problem. Therefore, says the Rush, that's why there's going to be an issue in this Gemara on Daf Lamadal Damadal. The issue that Rashi had was that this Gemara is going to be discussing a pot that has liquid in it, a Tavshel Sheishbo Marak, a pot that has a food that has liquid in it. And that's why there's an issue of reheating this pot. The reason Chazal prohibited insulation is because Chazal were concerned that if you find this pot was cooled off, in the spur of the moment, you may reheat the pot. And we're discussing a pot that has liquid in it. Chazal were concerned you'd reheat this liquidy chalent, let's say, the soup, and that's going to be a problem of melechas bishel. And we don't say Ein Bishel Achar Bishel because it's a liquid. When it comes to liquids, Rashi Shita is, we do not say Ein Bishel Achar Bishel, and therefore that's why it's going to be a problem. So that's all our first approach in terms of our second limitation here. We're trying to develop a second potential limitation to Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. So our first approach with Shita is Rashi. We just went through a whole Shaka Vataria in this Gemara and Daf Lama Dalad to bring out Chitas Rashi on this issue. Rashi there was discussing the issues of Atmana, but Rashi there in explaining that Gemara had pointed out that there's an issue of reheating this pot, and that begged the question, well, why is there a problem to reheat it? What about Ein Bishel Achar Bishel? Says the Rashi here is now our first approach. Rashi's heading out a new limitation that Ein Bishel Achar Bishel, does not apply to liquids. It only applies to solids. Any questions on the cheshbon?
Yes, I just want to make sure I'm clear. So the idea that you can't say ein bishlach ar bishul by lach, by liquids, you're saying that it's never explicitly said in the Gemara.
Right, correct.
And just Rishonim later on, at least Rashi, try to infer from this other halacha about hatmana, it must be that it's usur if it's lach.
100%. There's no primary.
Okay. Why would that be? In other words, this is an important halacha to know between the two.
It is a very important halacha to know.
Why wouldn't it be in the Gemara?
So okay, there is.
But it wasn't a gezeira later on, like in the time of Rashi. It based on the fact that Rashi's learning it out from the Gemara, they had to have established this already at the time of the Gemara.
Okay,
right.
So it was established at the time of the Gemara. There is one slight point in the Gemara that one could focus on, which I didn't emphasize, and that is that the Gemara on Daf Kuf Mem Hei Amud Beis does give an example of the heter of Im Bishlach Ar Bishul, which is in terms of chicken. The Gemara that talks about Rabbi Abba used to cook a chicken for a few days for health reasons, and the Gemara says that that's an example of Im Bishlach Ar Bishul. So it could be Rashi took the Gemara very literally. In other words, your question could be what was bothering Rashi. Why the Gemara specifically gave the example of chicken? What about other examples? So the Gemara itself, Rashi may have felt, was indicating this exact point that is limited to solids like chicken. It doesn't apply to liquids as well. So that could be a textual source for this shita of Rashi.
Okay,
that was a very good point, though. That was excellent. Okay, fine. So let's come over to our second approach now, which is the shita of the Ran. The Ran argues on Rashi. He doesn't quote Rashi by name, but he discusses a different issue, which is going to show us the Ran's shita on this issue, which is going to be arguing on Rashi. The Ran raises another very practical issue, and that is as follows. The Ran is at the very beginning of the fourth parak of the Masechta. It's on the Mar Makomos, and the Ran's discussing the following issue. Let's say you have a chalent that is cooking on Shabbos and it starts to dry out. So what you want to do is you want to take some boiling water that was heated up on the blech, let's say it was on the blech from before Shabbos, and you want to take this boiling water and pour it into your chalent to save your chalent from drying out. That's the issue that the Ran brings up. He doesn't say the word chalent. I'm just changing the word tafshil to chalent to make it more contemporary. But that's the issue that the Ran is raising. Can you pour water into your chalent in order to save it from drying out? So the Ran brings Rabbeinu Yonah, who was unhappy with this heter. He said people, Rabbeinu Yonah said that people used to do this, and he's unhappy with this procedure of pouring the hot water into the chalent. Why is Rabbeinu Yonah unhappy with this? So he makes two issues, but we're gonna focus, he has two problems, but we're gonna focus on one of his main problems with this issue. One of the problems Rabbeinu Yonah raises is that he's concerned that people are not going to be so careful, and the water may drop below Yad Soledes Bo, that you have this hot water that's boiling on the blech, and a person may not be so careful to check the temperature of the water, and it may drop below Yad Soledes Bo before you pour it into the chalent. Yad Soledes Bo is the point where we consider something legally hot. There's a very big machlokas haposkim, what exactly is Yad Soledes Bo? Somewhere between 113 and 175 Fahrenheit, so very big discrepancy there. But whatever Yad Soledes Bo is, so the Rabbeinu Yonah was concerned that people are not going to be so careful, and this would be much more understandable if we work with that higher number of Yad Soledes Bo, 175 degrees, so you could hear it's much more understandable why a person may not be so aware if it's 175 or 170. And he's concerned that people are not going to be careful. It's going to drop below Yad Soledes Bo. People are going to pour it into the chalent, and now this liquid, this water is going to be cooked. Since the water cooled off to below Yad Soledes Bo, when you pour it into the chalent on the blach, that's going to cook the water, and that should be a problem. So that was Rabbeinu Yonah's concern with this issue. He was not happy with this practice. People used to do it in his day, and this was a concern he raised, one of his major concerns with this practice. Comes along the Ran, and he argues on Rabbeinu Yonah. Ran says, I don't understand what the big deal is. Why should it be a problem to pour this water into the chalent when we have a heter of ein bishul achar bishul? This water was boiled. It certainly reached the boiling point before Shabbos. And Ben Yonah's concern was maybe it's going to drop down to below Yad Soledes Bo. Says the Ran, what's the big deal? Who cares if it drops to below Yatsa Letisbo? Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. Since the water was cooked once before, it reached the boiling point, or whatever cooking was, it reached Yatsa Letisbo. And even if it drops to below Yatsa Letisbo, no problem. Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. The Ran sees no problem, no reason why there should be a problem pouring the water into the Chalent. So that is the Ran's statement. This is the comment of the Ran. And what we see from the Ran is that he's clearly applying the principle of Ein Bishel Achar Bishel to liquids, even to water. The most mundane liquid, it has not, there's no mamashes, there's no substance to the water, it's a very plain liquid, a pure liquid. The Ran is still willing to apply Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. If the water was boiled once before, even if it cools off, it drops to below Yatsa Letisbo, even if it cools off totally, the Ran holds Ein Bishel Achar Bishel applies to liquids as well. So we now have a major machlokas rishonim as to if we have a second limitation to Ein Bishel Achar Bishel. Rashi in approach one, as explained by the Rush, is saying that it does not apply to liquids. It only applies to solids. You cannot reheat a liquid. We extracted that from Rashi's explanation of the concern for Hatmana. Rashi explained the issue of Hatmana was an issue of Bishel, which the Rush said was because of a liquid issue, that you're reheating a liquid that cooled off. That was Rashi's Shita. Whereas the Ran, in a different context with the Chalent, tells us clearly that even though the water cooled off, no problem, in Bishel Achar Bishel applies even to water. And so the question now becomes, what's the hesber in this machlokas? What's the conceptual basis for the shita of Rashi? What's the conceptual basis for the shita of the Ran? What's the point of contention in this machlokas? Any clarification questions before we work on the hesber? Okay. Hiya, Penny.
If you hold in Bishel Achar Bishel with Zavarlach, then everybody did have a klishin, you buy Zavarlach. There's no reason for it.
One more time. If you hold
the in Bishel Achar Bishel by Dover Lach, there's no reason for it to have a din of a klishini by Dover Lach.
So that's a good point. You're 100%. You're absolutely correct about that. That point is made by the poskim. It would be still relevant in terms of cooking solids, meaning if I put my water into a klishini, so you're right, it's not going to matter if the water is cold, so to speak, but if I put a solid into that water, depending on if klishini can or cannot cook, etc., meaning we're discussing Rich Simon in 2 weeks, probably, klisheni. But so you're right. In terms of the liquid itself, klisheni doesn't matter anymore, 100%. Okay, fine. So the question is, what's the hesber in this machlokas? Anyone want to say anything to explain this machlokas? Okay, So all the Achronim seem to give the same basic explanation for this machlokes. Just to give a name, we'll give the name the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish presents what seems to be the classic way of analyzing this machlokes. The Chazon Ish explains that this is going to come down to, it's going to be built off of the very first point we made when we learned, when we started Meleches Bishel a few weeks ago. So we worked on the basic definition of Bishel, and that was the very first point we worked on in the sugya of Bishel, was to figure out what is the definition of Bishel. What's the yesod of Meleches Bishel? So we quoted the Igros Moshe, or Moshe Feinstein, who points out that the underlying yesod of Bishel is about causing a change in a substance through heat. That the yesod of Meleches Bishel, the productive quality of Bishel, is to cause a change in a substance through heat. If let's say you take a piece of steak that was uncooked and you cook it, so what are you accomplishing? What you're doing is you're changing this substance through heat. That is the yesod of Meleches Bishel. Now, when it comes to solids, so it's self-understood how this definition plays out. When you cook a solid, a raw solid, let's say, and you cook it, so we can understand how this definition plays out. It was started out being raw. When you apply the heat and you cook the steak, so there's a change in the quality of this substance. There's a blatant change and the quality of the substance when you subject the solid to heat. So the heat changes the quality of the substance. And so we understand why cooking a solid is subject to Meleches Bishel. And even by non-food items, there's a concept of Meleches Bishel. The Gemara discusses throwing a wet peg into an oven could be an issue of Meleches Bishel. Because there too, when you throw the wet peg into the oven, you're softening it, you're hardening it. The heat is changing the quality of the peg. And so we can understand by when it comes to solids, how this definition of Bishel plays out. The big question becomes, what do we do when we come to liquids? We know for sure that liquids are subject to Meleches Bishel. If you have a liquid, certainly, that was never cooked before, and you cook it on Shabbos, that's going to violate Meleches Bishel. But the question becomes, how do liquids fit into the definition of Meleches Bishul. When I cook a liquid on Shabbos, if I boil some water on Shabbos, how does this fulfill this definition of Bishul? Where's the change that's taking place? If the Yesod of Bishul is causing a change in a substance through heat, so when it comes to the raw steak, I understand how I'm changing that when I cook it. When it comes to water, where's the real change that's taking place when I cook the water, which is violating Meleches Bishul? That's the question we have to ask, and Ben Kalish actually asked this right off the bat in the first seer when we set down this definition. So Ben asked, what are we going to do with liquids? If it's about changing a substance through heat, Ben had asked, what do we do about liquids? So I said, wait till we get to liquids. And typically that's just a stalling tactic to get you to be quiet. No, but this time I'm actually addressing it. Just joking about that. So the Chazon Ish points out that there are two basic possibilities that could be taken. There are two basic definitions, two basic explanations that could be given for how the definition of Bishul plays out when it comes to liquids. And ultimately, this Chakira is going to come back and explain on a Machlokes between Rashi versus the Ran by in Bishul Acher Bishul. So it goes like this. Two basic possibilities. The first possibility that we can say for how to explain, how does Bishul apply to liquids? When I cook a liquid, so where's the change that's taking place that violates Meleches Bishul? Is to say that it's true. When you boil some water, so there doesn't seem to be any change in the quality of the water. As opposed to by solids, by water, you know, what are you doing when you cook the water? But what we can say is that although the quality of the water, the substance itself isn't changing, but when you cook it, you're changing its function. That when you attribute heat to the water, when you make the water hot, that changes the function of the water. When you have cold water, so that serves one function. When you have hot water, that serves a different function. Hot water could be used for bathing. Hot water could be used for cooking. Hot water could be used to have hot tea. Hot water is, you know, from a functional perspective, is quite different than cold water. So one approach that could be taken for how to explain how does Meleches Bishul play out by liquids? Why is cooking a liquid a problem? Where's the change? The answer is, you're right, you're not changing the water, you're changing its function. By making it hot, the etzem fact that you're making it hot, that's a certain beneficial impact on the water. You're changing its function. It's now fit for cooking, it's fit for bathing. That could be how Meleches Bishul plays out by liquids. That is possibility number one. Yeah, Ben?
Well, everyone agrees that it's bishul with water, but oil is a machlokes. Hot oil is also...
100%. So what we'd have to say is that lefi that daya, hot oil is not as... the change in function of oil is not as significant as by water. I guess you can't really bathe in oil. You know, I don't know. It's a good point. I mean, I guess you could try, but... it's a very fair point. So that day in the Gemara, that one day in the Gemara has to be worked out with this definition that water is different than oil, apparently. But yes. Fine. So that is one possibility that Chazon Ish proposes. Then there's a second possibility. It's a little bit, defies reality a little bit, but the Chazon Ish doesn't, and Mefarshim say it a lot. And it has to be taken at the value that they, you know, the Achronim say it. And that is to say as follows, that it could be that maybe really when you cook a liquid, there is a change in the liquid itself. There's a certain chemical effect. There's a certain change in the quality of the liquid. Just like by solids, Bishul plays out. The definition of Bishul is satisfied based on changing the substance of the solid. So too by liquids. When you boil a liquid, even water, there's a chemical effect. There's a qualitative change in the water itself, which can violate Meleches Bishul. Where's the qualitative change in water? When you boil water, what's changing in the water? So the Mefarshim discusses. They try to figure out how can we say that what's this chemical effect in the water which is changing the water? If you want to take a more of a modern perspective on it, you could say it's sanitation and pasteurization, that you're killing the germs. Maybe that's a certain qualitative effect in the water. The Mefarshim try to discuss different possible effects. But what is very interesting is that the Ran himself actually says something which everyone points out fits in very nicely with this second possibility. The Ran is not in his Halacha Sefer, but actually in his Machshava Sefer. The Ran wrote a Sefer called Drasha Saran, which is a Machshava Sefer, a bunch of discourses on Machshava and philosophy that was written by the Ran. And in there, the Ran makes a point, which everyone kind of jumps on and plugs into this sugya right here. The Masadar of Cook, Drasha Saran, in the footnote there, points out that Ran fits in nicely with this second approach here in our sugya. The Ran there says that when you cook water, if you take water that was never cooked before and you cook it, so that act of cooking the water is going to cause a chemical change in the water, which is such that the next time you cook the water, it's going to cook quicker than the first time. The first time you cook the water, it was the first time around, and let's say it takes 30 minutes. Brian says that after it cools off, it's going to take 25 minutes to reheat it. That the first time you cook water, the heat sets, you know, makes an imprint in the water, breaks down the molecules, such that the second time you cook it, it's going to cook quicker the second time than the first time. So that is a statement that the Ran makes in the Drasha Saran. I guess you could try to experiment to figure out if this how this plays out. Keep in mind that water boils at different altitudes, so take that into account. I don't know. I'm just trying to, I guess, validate the Ran if you have trouble figuring this out scientifically. But the that is the statement that the Ran makes, and everyone points out that this helps us with the second approach a little bit. That the second approach is to say that really there is a change in the metzias, even by water when you boil it. If you want to say sanitation is what's changing, or the Ran's pointing at another aspect, which is that the Ran is saying there's a chemical effect in water, which plays out in terms of it'll heat up quicker the second time than the first time. So that just illustrates this point that maybe there is indeed a qualitative change in the water, which could violate Melechus Bishul. So we have now a basic chakira now as to how does Melechus Bishul play out by water. Bishul is all about creating a change. Where's the change by water? By solids, we understand. You're changing the quality of the substance. You're making a steak cooked from being raw. By water, when you boil water or liquids, what are you really doing? Two approaches. The first possibility is to say that you're right, you're not doing anything significant to the water itself, but you're changing its function. By heating it up, that makes it fit for bathing, fit for hot drinks, fit for cooking. That's the change which violates Melechus Bishul. The second approach is to say that maybe there really is a change in the metzias of the water itself. When you cook it, maybe you're sanitizing it, you're changing the chemicals, whatever it is, we'll just take it, you know, we'll take it at face value that there's a change in the metzias of the water, and that could also violate the Melacha of Bishul. Says the Chazon Ish, this Chakira is going to be the Hezbin, the Machlokas, Rashi versus the Ram. You have a basic Machlokas as to if the Heter of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul is limited to solids, or if it also applies to liquids. Says the Chazon Ish, that's going to depend on this question concerning the definition of Bishul pertaining to liquids. So let's go through the two stadim in this Chakira and show how they play out differently on the issue of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. So let's start with the first side in our Chakira, the first possibility. The first possibility was to say once again that the way Bishul plays out by liquids is in terms of changing its function. When you heat it up, you change its function, you turn this into water that's fit for bathing, fit for cooking, and that's how you violate Melechus Bishul when you cook water. If that's the case, so the Chazon Ish says like this. When that water, let's say you boil water one time around, and then the water cools off. As soon as that water cools off, the entire impact of that Bishul has dissipated, has dissolved. Because the whole significance of the Bishul was the fact that you made this warm. That was the significance of the Bishul. You didn't change anything in the water itself. The quality, the substance of the water didn't change. All that changed was its function, that you made it hot. The real significance of the Bishul was making it hot. When it cools off, essentially, the entire effects of the Bishul have dissolved, have evaporated. That's basically what's happening. Now that it's cold, it lost its entire function of being hot. It's back to being cold water. If that's the case, says the Chazon Ish, if you recook this liquid, we should not say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. There should be a problem to recook this liquid. Because what was the whole yesod of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul once again? It's about redundancy. The reason that it's typically mutter to reheat the kugel that was cooked once before is because the second act of cooking is redundant. If you already cooked something one time and you cook it a second time, the second act of cooking is redundant. Says the Chazon Ish, that makes sense by solids. If let's say you have a steak, it was raw, and you cooked it once before Shabbos, after the steak cools off, the effects of the Bishul are still present in the steak. The steak is not raw, it doesn't become raw when it cools off. It's still perfectly cooked. It just happens to be cold. The effects of the Bishul are still there. When you then cook it a second time, we can call that a redundant act. You're just doing something on top of the first Bishul. The first Bishul made this from raw into being cooked. It's true it cooled off, but the first Bishul is still there. When you then cook it some more, you're doing a redundant act, Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. But says the Chazon Ish, if we work with our first definition by liquids, that's not going to play out by liquids. Because if the whole significance of cooking liquids is just the fact that you made it hot, as soon as it cools off, the entire Bishul has evaporated, has dissolved. If you then recook it again, that's just a brand new act of Bishul. It's as if you're starting from scratch. You have something cold, you're heating it up. That's a brand new act of cooking. We should not say Ein Bishul Achar Bishul. That's not a redundant act. By steak, that second act of cooking is not significant because it's already cooked, even though it's cold, but it's still cooked. By water, if the whole significance was heating it up, as soon as it cools off, the effects of the Bishul have evaporated. Heating it up again should be a problem. It's a brand new act. It's novel, and therefore we should say Yesh Bishul Achar Bishul. So this is how the Chazon Ish explains the Shita of Rashi. Rashi is going to hold that the definition of Bishul by lach is what's called chimum. The way that Achronim say it is chimum. The bishul is just the heating it up. If bishul is just heating it up, as soon as it cools off, the bishul dissipated, evaporated, and there should be a problem to reheat it again. That's the typical classical explanation for Shitas Rashi. Moving over to the second side in our Chakira, so things are going to come out differently. Because what was the second side in our Chakira? That really, the definition of bishul when it comes to liquids is not... is not based on changing its function, but there's actually a molecular change in the water. When you cook water, there's some kind of change in the molecules, which is rendered significant. Maybe you're sanitizing it. The Ron had some other chemical effect. There's some kind of chemical effect in the water, which is changing the molecules, and that violates Melechus Bishul. If that's the case, so if you cook water one time and then it cools off, the effects of the Bishul are not evaporating. The water is still sanitized after it cools off. The germs have been killed even after the water cools off. The effects of the bishul have not evaporated, just like by a solid, by the steak, after it cools off, it's still cooked. So to the water, whatever chemical change was created by cooking it the first time still is in the water after it cools off. And so we can say that the second act of cooking is redundant, and we can have a heter of ein bishul achar bishul. And so this is how the Chazon Ish explains the Ran who says that you can throw that water into the chalent even though it cooled off. The Ran is going to hold that the definition of bishul by liquids is this chemical effect. When you boil water, there's a chemical change in the water, and therefore, even after the water cools off, this chemical change still is present in the water, and we could say ein bishul achar bishul, reheating it, is redundant. And the Ran would be l'shitaso. The Ran is classically explained as being l'shitaso because in the Drashos HaRan, in his Machshava Sefer, he makes this point that cooking water has this molecular effect on the water, which the footnote points out fits in nicely. The Ran is l'shitaso in this sense that he is taka saying that there is this chemical change in the water itself. So that's the hesber the Chazon Ish gives for this machlokas. Any questions on the hesber?
So it presumes that magical change that occurs, we're taking it on face value, but yeah, it presumes that it only happens once, the first time.
Yeah.
Right? Well, in other words, subsequent times don't do it a little bit more.
So it could be it does do it a little bit more, but it's still considered redundant. For example, if you have a piece of kugel, even if kugel is fully cooked, it could be reheating it enhances it. You know, you have overnight kugel. If you sometimes when you reheat something fully cooked, it does enhance it, but we still have a heter of ein bishul achar bishul. As long as it's fully cooked, it may not even have to be fully cooked, but certainly if it is fully cooked, even though reheating it enhances it, but that's not necessarily a problem because that's still redundant. It was basically cooked the first time around. Okay, so now you're turning it into an overnight kugel, which I guess some places might consider that a different type of kugel. But in terms of Hilchas Bishul, that's called an enhancement. That's not really called a new act of cooking. So to hear, you're right. It could be cooking it a second time. We'll sanitize it some more. We'll kill some more germs, whatever it's doing. But that doesn't matter. As long as the first impact is still there, this is considered to be redundant.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Any other questions? Penny?
How is it niskayim if you hold yesh bishul achar bishul?
That is, okay, that Goytal asked that question. That's an excellent question. It's a very complicated question. Excellent. Very good. Okay, so I think we're going to stop here. I just want to summarize and then we'll discuss the halacha l'maaseh quickly. So just to sum up, today we finished our discussion of our first major limitation to melechus bishul. That was ein bishul achar bishul. We started that last week. We finished that tonight. We have this heter to recook something that was previously cooked. And tonight we had two possible limitations to this heter. The first limitation was the issue of the format of cooking. The Urayim had argued that the heter only applies if you reheat it in the same way it was cooked the first time around. First time you cooked it on a fire, an open fire, you know, without liquid, then the second time you can only reheat it without liquid. But you can't mix and match. You can't then reheat it with a liquid. Or if it was cooked in liquid the first time around, you can't heat it up by a fire without liquid the second time around. That was the Shita of the Urayim, and the Ravya argued on the Urayim. He held that there is no such limitation. So that was part one of today's shir. And then part two was the second limitation, which was the issue of liquids. The major issue of reheating liquids, is that subject to the heter of ein bishul achar bishul or not? Rashi, as explained by the Rush, says that the heter does not apply. That's why Rashi explained the issue of hatmana, insulation, was a problem of reheating this pot, even though it was cooked before, because it's liquid. Whereas the Ran argued and said that it's permissible. That's why the Ran lets you put that water into the chalon, because the Ran says it was cooked once before, no problem in bishalach or bishal by liquids. And we explain the Hezbollah in this machlokas revolved around what's the fundamental definition of bishal by liquids. If it's about change, where's the change in the liquid? One possibility was a change in function. The other possibility was a change in the, some kind of change in the liquid, you know, this magical change, as Mr. Cohen pointed out, in the substance of the liquid. And the Chazanish pointed out that that's the Hezbollah in this machlokas, because when the water cools off, so is the bishul still there or not? In the first time, the chakira, the bishul evaporates, because it was just about making it hot. Once it cools off, the bishul evaporated. Whereas in the second time, the chakira, the bishul did not evaporate. It was still sanitized and pasteurized, let's say, after the water cooled off. And so we can say that we can still say in bishul achar bishul. So just to spend a few moments now just on the halach lamaisa. So on the first issue, in terms of the chumrah of the urayim of bishul achar tzli, where you can't mix and match formats of cooking. So the Ramah brings this down, lahalacha. The Ramah says that the minhag is to be machmer lecharchila on this. So once again, we're not discussing Tzfari halacha in this venue because it's very complicated. The Shulchan Aruch has different days. But the Shulchan Aruch brings down different days. But the Ramah says that it's nachon lahachmer. The minhag is to be machmer lecharchila on this issue. And the Ramah says, even in a klisheni. So what that would mean to say is that if, let's say, a person has a soup and he puts the soup into a klisheni, so you would not be able to put bread into that soup, even though the bread was baked once before, but you can't put the bread into the soup, assuming the soup is yatso lettuce bow, because of this chumrah of the ureyim, that the first time around the bread was baked, and if you put it into the soup, well, then you're cooking it in liquid, and that would be a problem. So that is how we paskan on this issue. L'charchila, there's a problem of mixing and matching. However, it is important to note that we are makel in a kli shlishi. In a kli shlishi, it is permissible. So if you have soup that's in what's considered to be a kli shlishi, then you would be permitted to put bread into that soup. And the poskim typically say that in terms of this issue, a ladle would be very helpful, that if you soup out the soup with a ladle, so your soup pot is a kli rishon, that's the primary heat source. When you use a ladle, that's considered to be a kli sheni, that's the second source. When you pour it into your bowl, that would be a kli shlishi, and therefore you would be able to put bread into that soup. That is how the poskim explain the halacha in this situation. We're going to discuss ladles. Ladles are much more complicated. We're going to discuss that in Mishnah 7 in 2 weeks. But in terms of this particular halacha, that's how it plays out. That was all the halacha lamais in terms of that. In terms of the second issue of bishul achar bishul by lach, so this is one of these few areas of halacha that the Ashkenazim are more makel than Tzvardim. It's good to be a Sephardi, except for during Slichos, also El. But aside from El and liquids, you know, and liquids. So this is one of the few instances in Haftorah also. You guys are always shorter Haftorahs than us. But in terms of this issue, so the Sephardim are more machmer than the Ashkenazim. The Shulchan Aruch is machmer for the Shita of Rashi at face value, that the Shulchan Aruch holds Yesh Bishol Achar Bishol by liquids, that once a liquid drops to below Yad So lettuce bow, it cannot be reheated. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. I'm assuming Sephardim Paskin that way. I don't really know, though. But in terms of Ashkenazim, so here the Ramah was considered to be a little bit of a mystical shita here. The Ramah says that we hold that if a liquid is cooked once before, as long as it did not fully cool off, you could reheat it. If the liquid fully cooled off, you cannot reheat it. But as long as it didn't fully cool off, even though it's below Yatz lettuce bow, and typically that's not considered to be hot in Halacha, as long as it's still warm, you could reheat it. And so what that would mean is that for Ashkenazim, if you have a chalent, let's say, or a soup, and you take it off the fire, and it's left out for a while, and it's still warm, the chalent is still warm, you would be allowed to put that back onto the fire. I'm not discussing the issues of Hilchos Chazara right now. There are other aspects to the issue of putting things back onto the fire. But in terms of Hilchos Bishul, if you take the soup off the fire, as long as it's still warm, it's perfectly fine to put it back onto the fire. So that is the psak of the Ashkenazim on this issue. Okay. Thank you very much for joining us, and have a wonderful Shabbos. Shkayach.
Shabbos, thank you.
Shabbos, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
You too. Thank you, Mordechai.